All right, so we're here with Daniel Hubbell from the Ease of Access Group in Windows. Tell us a little bit about what you do, first of all.
Well, the accessibility team that I'm a part of is actually in Trustworthy Computing, which oversees the sort of the broad range of products across the company, including Windows, Office, Internet Explorer, our Xbox and IEB teams. But we really look at how do we set policy for making the computer easier to use for people with disabilities, seniors, anybody who might use the computer differently.
And it's not just people with disabilities. I mean, these are some of the things that are in Ease of Access are things like I would use to just make it easier to read, or even if you have like a really high resolution screen and you want to make things bigger and easier to read, there's a setting there.
You're exactly right. A lot of the technology came out of how do we make it easier for people with disabilities, because they require this technology. We actually did some research about 8 years ago that showed, however, that 57% of the population can benefit from features that are designed specifically for somebody with a disability.
Yeah.
So while our group is sort of focused around creating solutions for people with disabilities and seniors, really 57% of the population can take advantage of this stuff.
So I spoke with you in the Windows 7 timeframe,
right,
and I'll link to that video because there's a lot there. But let's talk about Windows 8 and what things might have changed.
Sure. So we've got a few things that we'll want to talk about today. Obviously, there's a lot going on with our new fancy UI for our start menu.
Yeah.
Two big features that we've changed and updated. One is our Windows Narrator. Narrator is a tool called text-to-speech, which actually will read text on the screen to you. For someone who's blind or has a severe visual limitation, text-to-speech technology is imperative in order to use technology like the PC.
Yeah.
In Windows, it was Windows 7, for example, there were a number of third-party applications that were available, and the UI was structured sort of in a hierarchical way, so it was mm-hmm. much easier to have an audible experience with Windows 7. And so our engineers really had to go and think about, in this new touch environment, how do you re-envision what speech output means? And so we'll talk a little bit about that. I'll show you how it works. But they've really done a phenomenal job of actually figuring out how to take a touch screen with no tactile definition of where you're at and be able to give you an audio experience.
Has that been a challenge? I mean, what's involved there? Is it a little bit easier because it's designed for touch, or is it a little bit more difficult because it's a little bit more visual than buttons and radio buttons and things like that?
Conceptually, it's more difficult because in when you're using a keyboard and a mouse, you
difficult
have...
Difficult for you, not for the user.
Well,
yeah.
it's difficult for someone who is... It's a difficult challenge to figure out because when you're using a keyboard and a mouse, you have a very physical thing that you're interacting with, and there's feedback that's... there's an easier way, because it's more hierarchical, to understand where you are.
Yeah.
And in a touch environment, you know, this screen moves back and forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I can put my finger in the center of the screen and be somewhere different every time I touch it. And so how do you orient a user who can't see the visual representation of what all these icons mean? And so that was the challenge they were faced with, and they've come up with some pretty inventive ways of making that work.
And does Narrator just work with the full version of Windows 8, or does it work on Windows RT as well?
Great question. We get that a lot, and it works with both Windows RT and the full version of Windows 8. And in fact, all of the Ease of Access features that we will talk about work in both environments, the Windows RT
Excellent.
And the Windows 8.
Great. And how do we get into it?
How do we get into it? Well, what's great about Ease of Access is we've tried to make it as easy as possible to get to individual applications that you might use, like Narrator or Magnifier.
Yeah.
And so we've actually assigned a new hotkey specifically for Narrator, which is the Windows key Enter. So if you push Windows key Enter, it's going to launch Narrator. We've also, if you're using a hardware device specifically designed for Windows 8, obviously there are older devices that you could upgrade, but a device that's designed for Windows 8, much like the Surface, if you push the Windows button, the hardware button, and the volume up key, mm-hmm. you can configure that to turn on one of any number of accessibility options by default. So
nice.
Again, you don't have to get into the UI to find where it's at. With a tablet environment, you may not have a keyboard to press Windows key Enter.
Mm-hmm.
So we've made that volume up button sort of a hard key that you can program to turn on an application.
Excellent.
So
let's take a look.
Yeah.
What's the best way to jump into ease of access?
The best way to do this. So let's start sort of at the higher level, show where some of the options are, and then we'll get into the individual applications. So the easiest thing to do, there are two ease of access areas that you can go to. There's the Windows 8 UI and the Start menu. And to get to that ease of access, I'm going to just swipe from the right. I'm going to click on my settings. And if I go to PC settings, I can click on ease of access, and this gives me a list of options I have in the Windows 8 environment. So I can turn on high contrast settings. I think we talked about this a little bit last time, right? Where high contrast basically reverses your white and black. So this will take your black text on white and change that to white text on black. So if I
call
click
it
that.
I'm reading at 2 in the morning when I shouldn't be.
Totally.
And my eyes are burning.
Or outside on a sunny day and the glare on your screen, that's when I use it the most. And so you'll see it's reversed out my screen, giving me just a higher contrast mode to work in. So that's one of the options I can turn on here. And again, I can turn this off. I can get my fat finger to push in the right place. Another option that's here that I have currently grayed out because I have a small monitor on this Surface, but if you were using a larger high-definition monitor that has a much larger pixel density, sometimes that pixel density has the adverse effect of making things smaller on the screen, right? Because some icons are fixed width and those sorts of things.
So you have a high-res HD display, maybe like Surface Pro or something.
A lot of the new all-in-ones are HD, and they might have 8 or 10 rows of start menu icons on them, and they end up showing up small again because the display is so large and the resolution is so high. So it's grayed out here, but if I were to select here, make everything on your screen bigger, it essentially makes the fonts bigger, makes the icons bigger. It really just sort of blows everything up a notch on a high resolution display. So that's another option that we have. I mentioned before pressing Windows and volume up will turn on what option, and so here I have a couple of different options. I can turn on my magnifier, my on-screen keyboard, or narrator.
The magnifier. That'd be good for like demos and things.
The magnifier is great for demos, and I'll demo that for you so we can sort of see what that experience is like. And then showing notifications. This is again for people who have cognitive impairments that might need just a little bit longer time. If you have a notification that pops up that says I have an appointment here.
And what notifications would that be? Would that include like emails or is it just system messages?
It's the system messages that pop up as the little flags up in the right-hand corner in Windows 8. And so that could be anything from calendar appointments to a new email message to maybe someone mentioned you on Twitter. Any of the things that are linked into the system that send a system notification up in the corner. When my son logs in, I have him set up with his privacy settings, and a flag comes up every time he accesses an application and that is being monitored by family safety, and it says, your actions are being monitored.
Yeah.
And so it's those sorts of settings that come up.
I think I'd like to set that a little higher because I seem to turn around and look right when it's like disappearing.
It's disappearing. And there's no way to go back to it, right?
Yeah.
So you have no idea what it was. So by default, it's set to 5 seconds, and you can change this to stamp for as long as you need to.
Cool.
Based on that. And then, of course, cursor thickness is something that has existed in Windows 7 and other versions of Windows. We've moved that over into this environment as well so that you can change that. So this is the Windows 8 ease of access control panel. And so what we can do is if I go back to the start menu, we have the desktop version of ease of access, which has existed for many versions of Windows, going back to about Windows Vista, I believe. And I can access that either by clicking on the desktop or going through search, but the quick key for that still works, which is the Windows key U. And so that's going to bring me to the desktop, and it's going to bring up my ease of access there. Now I can turn on a number of the things that I showed in the other control panel, but you know, again, this is really designed more for making changes in the desktop environment.
It's, you know, four of the most handy ones. So just Windows U, and then you can click right there.
Right. So we have that, and then we get into what are the apps that we can use that actually make it easier for us to use the computer. So we've talked about Narrator, and this is the fun one because A, it's new. They started from the ground up and rebuilding Narrator for Windows 8. And because this touch environment is so unique, it really sort of gives a fun mode to that. So opening Narrator, again, super simple. We have the new hotkey, Windows key plus enter. And so when I open Narrator,
starting Narrator,
it's going to turn Narrator on, and it's going to sort of give me information about its default state.
Launch mail, 5, non-selected.
In this case, it's on mail. It's telling me that there's 5 messages, and I can double tap to activate that application. I can triple tap to select it. See, if I want to select that icon, like I was going to change the preferences for the icon.
So if someone can't see, they don't have the benefit that a user who can see of being able to see live tiles that update. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, the live tiles are a great feature of Windows 8 because you're constantly getting information from these tiles. And so one of the great things that Narrator has actually done is if I leave focus on an item,
large tile 4 image,
every time it updates,
large tile 5 image,
it's going to give me new information.
Large tile 1 image.
Yeah. So in this case, I'm on my photos and it's just telling me that the images are being updated. But
large
if this was
image.
The status from a friend of mine,
the news hub,
it's going to pass
store,
along that information to
draggable,
me.
Excellent.
Watch list.
So
calendar. Talk access.
Here I'm navigating
photos,
with the keyboard. I have my arrow keys and I'm navigating through and
David
I can,
Digger.
You know, scroll through my various
left arrow.
You know, areas of the start screen. But because this is designed for touch, we can't, you know, go without having a way to understand what I'm touching and where I'm at.
Yeah.
So if I click anywhere on the screen,
watch list, double tap to activate,
and I begin
store,
to drag around,
Internet
it reads
mail,
to me
group.
Whatever's under my finger. So I can just
people,
navigate
double.
Around, and it will tell me exactly where
watch,
I'm at.
Kendra Hubble, double
so
tap to
in this
activate,
case, here's my wife.
Select.
If I wanted to go to her contact card, I could either double tap. Now that it's been selected, I can double tap, and I can double tap anywhere on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I were holding my finger down on the screen as I'm moving around, I can just tap with a second finger.
Window opened. People.
And
window
it'll
opened.
Launch that.
People
so eyes. A double tap is either
window opened.
Tapping
people.
Twice or tapping
people
with
window.
A second finger.
Focus on send message Skype link.
And again, it's going to bring
saving.
Up
status.
The information for her. I could navigate through this either with my finger or with the arrow keys just to figure out if
video
I want
to. Call Skype. Call Skype. Send email.
So I can move through.
Profile,
and you can see
deep.
As I'm just
video
scrolling over, it's going to
new
read.
Update by Kendra Hubble. On Sunday, video. Send message Scott. Link. Double tap to activate.
So.
People close.
And the close.
Start menu.
Still works the same.
Focus
I just drag from the top.
Five.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like it'd almost be easier for someone with disabilities to use Windows with the functionality we put in for touch.
It's funny. I had conversations with some folks in the blind community. Several years ago, and I can't speak for everybody because everybody's going to have a different experience, but there has been a lot of angst about what does touch mean for people who have trouble with their vision.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't see the screen, if I can't see this visual UI in order to access it, how am I going to do anything? And in the last 3 to 5 years, we've really seen industry-wide advancements in this concept of interacting with something visual and having audio feedback that helps us orient that. And that's not just for people with visual impairments, but for all users. And so having this environment of audio reading back to you in a touch environment, while right now is sort of a specialized tool, I can see how this is going to evolve into, I think, more mainstream, you know, longer term, just from an industry perspective, because there's so much value into just getting that extra reinforcement of what you're doing and what you're interacting with on the computer.
Yeah.
We've had Magnifier in Windows going back all the way to Windows 98, and it's evolved and changed over the years, but again, we had another challenge to meet with this. If you're using a handheld tablet, how do you use Magnifier in a way that's useful for this touch environment?
Yeah.
So if I go and I start Magnifier, let's go ahead here. I'm going to go to settings. I'm going to go to PC settings. And I am going to, I'm actually just going to do it this way. And
spelled
if
wrong.
I can spell it correctly, that's a different disability. So I'm going to go ahead and turn Magnifier on. It's going to bring me to the ease of access that we talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
So if I start Magnifier, I'm here on the desktop pane here, but you can see that it has added for me a series of, if I touch the screen, a series of borders around the edge of the screen.
Yeah.
And in the corners, there's pluses and minuses, pluses at the top and minuses at the bottom. And this is the way that I can actually zoom in or out on the screen.
Very nice.
If I go back to the start menu, I come down to this environment where I can scroll around on the screen here. Within that window, but the scroll bars on the side are really the way that I can navigate through an area. So if I'm clicking here on the right-hand side on the on this bar, this is how I move across the screen back and forth. And when I hit the edge of a screen, you'll notice that the bar here on the slider bar actually disappeared, showing that I'm at the edge of the boundary window. So I know that I'm at the far left side. So it gives me some indication. Now, if you get lost, in this case, we're zoomed in pretty, you know, pretty closely. There's our good friend Pat Cashman, local celebrity here in Seattle. We can, to get our orientation, if I press two opposing edges of the bars, this will actually zoom me out and show me where I'm at. And it gives me a little box that I can drag around. And let's say now I want to zoom in over here and I want to see what's happening with Skype. I can go there and stop, and it's going to zoom me in directly into that area where I'm at.
Cool.
So,
and then to exit back out of this?
To exit back out of this, I can just take this back out to 100%, and you'll see that I'm at 100%, so I can, you know, navigate this normally. It's still leaving the magnifier active, but the bars aren't there, so I can use the interface normally.
Yeah.
If I really wanted to shut it down, you'll notice there's a big X here, and so I can just hit the X and close it.
Excellent. And do developers have any ability to code against some of the features in Ease of Access?
Absolutely. So Windows, we have an API called Interface Automation, or UI Automation. And that API really is the basis for interacting with all of the elements that you would have in your application. So with Windows 8, if you're going whichever route you go with in developing your app, let's take HTML5 for example. HTML5 has a whole series of APIs called ARIA, which is Accessible Rich Internet Applications. It's another API that's a layered, an HTML layered API, so that we can control what's happening on your either a web page or an HTML5 app that you might run for Windows 8. So do that work. It's easy. As a matter of fact, if you use the new dev tools that we have, the new Visual Studio actually has, by default, it'll ask for the methods and properties and the information for to make your app accessible. If you use the default templates, if you do all the sort of the default things that Visual Studio has set up, you get all that stuff for free. It's great. So we've programmed it in. So all you got to do is just go in and put in a data field that says, oh yes, this is what this does, and you're going to get all this accessibility stuff for free, which is great. Add to that, when you go to publish in the store, there's a flag that says, yes, I've considered accessibility for my app, and you can check that and say, yes, we've checked this for accessibility. We're adhering to the best practices and the APIs and all the stuff for accessibility. And there's actually a filter that you can put as you're browsing the store that says, only show me apps that have been flagged as accessible.
Yeah.
So it's another way to give exposure to your app. There are a number of people that by default turn this on so that they are only going to see apps that they know will work with these tools.
So if a developer wanted to go beyond just, let's say, considering people with disabilities, and let's say they had an RSS reader and they wanted to be able to have that read people's RSS feeds to them, whether they have a disability or not, can they just have that as a trigger in there and flag that so that it starts reading their content?
Yeah, if they have followed the best practices for programming according to the UI automation guidelines, which is, you know, if you have a content field, it's labeled correctly, you've got everything done, you know, in the right way, you get all this for free.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything special. It's really about just following the rules of good and proper coding and design.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for showing us this today. Great work.
Yeah, thank you very much.